when I was 18 years old. When I was 18 years old, I had grown up in a, well, in a family, I'll say a religious family, but a very nominal religious family where nobody bothered anybody about God. I remember being taken to church as young as up to 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. I think it must have been around when I was 11 years old that altogether, you know, we just stopped going to church. You know, just stopped going. Then maybe 12, maybe 13. In fact, I began to really doubt the existence of God, if God was actually for real. Because, you know, you can be brought up religiously. You can be born into a Christian home. You can be told about God and actually not know God. And I found out that that was my experience, really. So when I was 18 years old, I got invited to a church. And actually what attracted me was because I was kind of in some kind of a mess. My life felt so empty. I felt so forsaken, so forlorn. It was like everything around was just collapsing. And I remembered following my friends, you know, my friend to church. Somehow this friend had persuaded my two brothers and they had gone to church with him. And then I remembered them coming back and, you know, sharing their experience when they were, you know, when they went for the church services. Funnily enough, they were going during the week, which was a little bit odd. I don't think I ever grew up going to a church during the week. All I knew was religiously you go on a Sunday. So they said they were going for what was known as a fellowship, and they kept sharing their experiences. And, you know, that got me curious that, okay, let me just go. So I remembered following them on a Sunday, and somehow all that was on my mind and I remembered really was, if this thing is real, if this experience that my brothers are sharing real, if God is real, then I think I want to know him. I want God to reveal himself somehow to me. Let me really, truly know that he's real. And I remembered just listening to the preacher that day. I looked around the environment. I saw everybody was happy. I saw young people. I saw people of my age. I saw people older than me. I just saw something that I craved, that I wanted. And I remember that day, the person who was preaching said, you know, if you really want to know God, you want to receive Jesus into your life, you want God to forgive you your sins, you want the love of God, that just kind of raise your hand up, come outside, and pray this prayer. And I remembered that for one reason or the other, I couldn't just go out, but I knew I wanted whatever the preacher was saying. I don't know if it was because of my friend that brought me, that sat beside me, why I didn't want to go outside, but I just knew I wanted whatever that preacher was saying. And he said, you know, pray this prayer. And people were praying. I, you know, bowed my head. And I was sincerely from my heart praying. It was a cry. God, I want to know you. I want to receive Jesus into my life and all that. And I remembered I just felt one kind of a peace. I felt something new within me. I can't describe it. But I knew something had changed. There was all of a sudden a joy that I never had before in my life. This joy filled my heart. I was so joyful. After the service, of course, we all went home. And I remembered I went to my closest friend then. I couldn't just hide the way I was feeling. So immediately I saw my closest friend, of course, who wasn't a Christian. Immediately I saw him. I told him what happened to me. I said, wow, I went to church today, and I received Jesus into my life. And I'm just, there's just a difference. And I remembered my friend mocked me. He laughed. He said, ha, 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 ha. He said, you, Fola, so you want to go to heaven? That's exactly what he said that day. So you want to go to heaven? I said, well, whatever it is, I know there is a change in my life. And, you know, I left my friend, went back home in the evening, and I remembered the friend that, you know, took me to church in the morning, came to visit me that evening. And I remembered he took me outside my parents' house, and we were talking. He said, Fola, I want to pray with you to receive the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I looked at him. I said, why do you want to pray with me? He told me, he said, do you think I don't know what happened this morning? I know you received Jesus. And I just looked down and said, yes, it's true. I actually received Jesus. And I felt this joy. He prayed with me. And I felt something different again, some strange thing. And he encouraged me, urged me, you know, to pray. I just started saying some nonsense, which, you know, well, that's the way it was then. Just, I didn't know what I was just saying. I was just saying it. It just encouraged me that, don't worry. And that was it. I felt another level of joy I couldn't describe. And somehow faith, when I say faith, belief in God began to rise up within me. Somehow I just started believing there was God. I can't explain it. But there was this very strong faith in me that there was God. And I didn't know the Bible then, but I figured out in my head that if there was God truly, and I believe there is God, and now I know there is God, then there is nothing that God shouldn't be able to do. What should make him God is that he can do what is impossible. Because if he's not God, and if he's man, then he should be limited. I was figuring out in my head. You know, I know better now, because that's, I'm talking about 33 years ago. You know, that if there was God and there is God, he should be able to do something that man cannot do. That's what should make him God. That's what should make me to want to depend on him. I figured it out. So I had a difficult situation I was going through then. And I remembered praying, and somehow I believed. Now, I didn't get the answers immediately, but I remember day after day after day, I kept on holding on that God was going to answer this prayer. I've been told this cannot be done. This is impossible. We did everything humanly possible. But I kept believing. And I will never forget, I think it was the 19th of December, 1986. God came through and I got the answer to what I prayed for, what I had been believing God for. And I remember collapsing to the floor. I mean, if you saw me at that point in time, it was like you will think I went into some temporary insanity. Because I went wild. I mean, literally wild. And I remember collapsing on the floor, raised my hand. I cried out, Jesus, Jesus. You know, that song we just sang, you know, Jesus, Jesus, how I trust you. How I have proved you over and over. I proved him at that point in time in my life. And I tell you, for 33 years, over and over, I have proved him. But that day, I remembered saying, God, I will serve you, worship you for the rest of my life. Of course, it's not been plain sailing, because after I prayed that prayer, after I kind of went back to my normal life, and for the next 2 years again, God was with, the faith was within me, the belief was within me, but I wasn't really growing my faith. I wasn't growing my faith. And what do I mean by growing my faith? I wasn't really praying because I didn't know I needed to pray. I just prayed once in a while. I didn't study the Word of God. I didn't know I needed to be, you know, studying the Word of God. I didn't attend fellowship because after that encounter, some few weeks after, I had to relocate, you know, to another city very, very far away where, of course, nobody knew my story. So it was like I was starting, you know, in a new city all over again. So for the next 2 years, that was the story of my life. But I just knew that was God. And I would pray to him once in a while. And I would remember what he did, but I wasn't praying. It was just occasionally. I wasn't studying the Bible. And I wasn't attending any fellowship. 2 years. Until I met someone again who told me. In fact, I met, in those 2 years, I met two people. I'm going somewhere because our study tonight is when people doubt your testimony. I met two people in the space of those 2 years, and I remembered one of them seemed to be a seasoned Christian, a seasoned believer, apparently looked like a Christian. I don't know what a Christian looks like, but you know, he looked like a Christian. And I remembered I was sharing my experience with another friend, and this seasoned Christian told me, that day you went to that fellowship, you prayed that prayer, I said yes. He said, but when they said, come out, did you go out? I said, I didn't go out, but I prayed that prayer, and I know something happened. He said, no, because you did not go out, you are not saved. Well, as far as I was concerned, it brought a little bit of doubt inside me. But excuse me, I could not deny my experience. I had an experience that day. And this seasoned Christian is telling me I didn't have the experience. Well, I just left it there. So I met that guy. And then fast forward 2 years after, I met someone else. This time, a very beautiful looking lady. I saw her reading the Bible. Two things attracted me. The beauty of the lady and the Bible she was reading. Because I could not reconcile comfort. How can a beautiful girl be reading the Bible? That was my reasoning. No. Beautiful girls party. Beautiful girls hang out with boys. They are happening. You don't see beautiful girls reading the Bible. So those two things attracted me, and I broke every protocol. I went to this beautiful girl, and I asked her, you are reading the Bible. Why are you reading the Bible? And she began to expound the Word of God to me. And she asked me straight away, are you a Christian? Are you born again? I said, yes. I told her my story again. She said, so what have you been doing? I said, well, that was 2 years ago. She said, okay, I know your problem. She said, you have not been growing your faith. You've not been growing in faith. You've not been fellowshipping. You've not been praying and all that. So she asked me to join her fellowship. She introduced me to a fellowship. So I started going to the fellowship. And a hunger and a thirst began to rise up within me. I began to eat, literally eat the Bible. But later I found out that my motives for reading the Bible was wrong. Because I was reading the Bible in competition with her because I found out she knew the Bible so much. So I wanted to prove that I know the Bible too. But later, I swallowed my agenda and surrendered my life. But let me tell us again, before we go into the scriptures. In my low moments, what Mr. Seasoned Brother, Seasoned Christian told me will come back and haunt me. You didn't go out that day. You are not saved. You are not a Christian. You didn't go out. By this time, I'd started fellowshipping. I'd started reading the Bible. I joined the discipleship class. I'd started, you know, even witnessing. I knew I'd had encounter with God, but quiet voice will come and whisper into my ears, you didn't go out that day. You didn't go out that day. So one day, after many years, I said, I'm going to silence this voice forever. So I was going normal service. Of course, people had known me. I was a Christian. But I said, I'm going to silence this voice. This voice is telling me I didn't go out that day, many years ago. So today, this day, I will go out. I wasn't even listening to the message. I was just waiting. Once they finished the message, all right, those who want to go, come outside. And I just stood up. And I remembered immediately I stood up. It was as if some force hit me that day, and I fell down. I'm telling you, I fell. And when I fell, I shook my head. I said, devil, you are a liar. I'm standing up. I am going out. So I went outside. I've not heard that voice since that day, telling me I'm not a Christian. When people doubt your testimony, Acts chapter 22. Let's turn in our outline. It will be another guided study tonight. When people doubt your testimony. A little bit of guided study and teaching. And please feel free, we might take some contributions because there are some questions I would like to ask us or get us to meditate over. Okay, Acts chapter 22. We do a systematic study of the Bible. What do I mean by that? We study the Bible book by book, chapter by chapter, verse by verse, story by story. If you want to understand the Bible, please read the Bible and follow the Bible story. Every book in the Bible tells a story. If you want to understand the Bible, the Word of God, please just follow the story. Don't jump into a story, take a line and a few verses and give it some interpretation. Read the verse within the story, what went before the verse, what the verse is after, and you will understand the verse better. You will understand the Bible story. You will understand what God is trying to teach us through the inspiration. God inspired men to write the Bible. You know, people ask me, who wrote the Bible? It's men that wrote it. But the Bible tells us how that happened. The Bible says, holy men of God, they spoke as they were inspired by the Holy Spirit. So the Spirit of God is like this. That's comfort there. And I say comfort, I want to tell you some things and I want you to write them down. And I begin to dictate and dictate to comfort. And comfort says what I say and then writes them down into a book. Now, if I ask you, and if comfort brings that book to you and says, see, I wrote this book, will you argue that comfort wrote it? Probably not, but whose words? That's right, my words that I dictated to him. So that's the picture of the Bible. So read it as a story. So we started reading the book of the Acts of the Apostles. So we have been taking it verse by verse, line by line, story by story. So here was a story here of what happened to Paul. Paul initially was a wicked man. He was anti-Christ, anti-Christian. And he was very notorious for attacking Christians and going places where Christians gather to go and scatter them. So he had the authority of the religious sect in those days to go and scatter anywhere that people gather in the name of Jesus. So it was on one of those journeys he was going that he now had an encounter with Jesus on the road to a place called Damascus. So as a result of that experience, he now became a Christian. He now, who was persecuting people for following Jesus, now became a follower of Jesus. Not just a follower, he now became a preacher. So he was going about his missionary journeys, and on one of those journeys, he got into trouble. Because right now, he who used to haunt people now became the haunted. You know, the tables turned. Please tell somebody, watch what you sow. Because if you sow tomatoes, you ain't going to reap apple. If you sow apple, you are not going to reap pineapple, no matter how much you pray. So there was a reversal. Now he was not the one being persecuted. So he was arrested here. So let's see what happened in this story. If you want to understand the full story, read from verse 1. That's where we started the study from. So we got to verse 16 the last time, and now we're going from 17 to 22. So hear this story. Hear this story. Now it happened. This is Paul now narrating his experience. When I returned to Jerusalem, I was praying in the temple that I was in a trance and saw him saying to me, make haste and get out of Jerusalem quickly, for they will not receive your testimony concerning me. Here was Paul narrating another experience he had, an encounter he had with Jesus. So Jesus appears to him while he was praying in the temple. He was in a trance, and Jesus said to him, make haste and get out of Jerusalem quickly, for they will not receive your testimony concerning me. So I said, that's Paul now, Lord, they know that in every synagogue I imprisoned and beat those who believed on you. And when the blood of your martyr, Stephen, was shed, I was also standing by, consenting to his death, and guarding the clothes of those who are killing him. Then he said to me, depart, for I will send you far from here to the Gentiles. Now, this is Paul narrating his experience now with Jesus to the people who captured him. Now, see the response of the people. See the reaction of the people. The Bible says, and they listened to him until this word. Until he said what he just said. And they raised their voices and said, away with such a fellow from this earth, for he's not fit to live. Now, he narrated his testimony, his experience. Now, when we say testimony, please, a testimony is just simply you giving an account or bearing a record of what you have seen or what you have experienced, or what you have heard. When there's a case in the court, and they want to prosecute someone, of course, there's a prosecution and there's the defense. They will call witnesses. The witnesses, under oath, are meant to come and simply narrate what they heard, what they saw, what they experienced. That's why they make them swear an oath that you will say the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So help me God. And if you don't believe in God, they know that you, at least you believe in something. So whatever you believe in, they will make you swear by it that you are going to, as a witness, say the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. If you believe in a microphone stand, they will give you the microphone stand and say, you swear by this microphone stand. Everybody believes something. I tell you, there's really no such thing as a non-believer. Everybody believes in something. Some people believe in football. Some people believe in stone. You believe in something. Some people believe in themselves. They will make you swear. So a witness comes to bear testimony, comes to narrate the events, an account of what they saw, heard, or experienced. So when we, as Christians, are sharing our testimonies, that's simply what is expected of you. Just tell us your encounter, your experience with God. And that's the way I started off tonight, telling you what happened to me when I was 18 years old. And I can tell you many, 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 many encounters in 33 years of the experiences I've had with God since then. So that is my testimony. And every one of us can have a testimony because God is ready to reveal himself to us if we ask. If we want to know him, he will. The Bible tells us that God says, if you draw near to me, I will draw near to you. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Anybody, anyone, God does not discriminate. Wherever you are, call upon the name of the Lord. I want to know you. God will reveal himself. So that is what a testimony is. We see that in different scriptures. What a testimony is. Okay, let's just read John chapter 19, verse 35. What is a testimony? John chapter 19, verse 35. If you can bring that up quickly. There are so many verses there that just tells us, you know, what a testimony. So it says, and he who has seen has testified. And his testimony is true. And he knows that he's telling the truth so that you may believe. So when you are testifying, you are simply testifying what you have seen. Let's see another scripture. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 1. Let's see that word again. So simply, that's what you're doing when you're asked to give a testimony. Share. You see, no one can argue with your experience. They can doubt it, but your experience is your experience. That's why it is very personal when you know God. It is very personal when you experience God. You know, you heard Noah, those of us who are here on Sunday, Noah is our first son. You know, we've taken him to church all his life until he got to a personal relationship and experience. That's when he started knowing God for himself. Took him to church all his life. What age was it? 17, until he was 17 years old. He was born inside the church. He was baptized inside the church. He was bred inside the church. He was buttered in the church, just like comfort. But one day, he had to have his own encounter. Okay, 1 Corinthians 2, 1. And I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. Verse 2, for I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. That was Paul writing to some believers in the church at Corinth. Okay, let's go to Revelation chapter 1, verse 1 to 2. You see, the books in the Bible are written by men who had an encounter, their own personal experience with God, and the things God spoke to them or the things they experienced, they documented. So Revelation, this was written by a disciple called John. It says the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants things which must shortly take place. And he sent and signified it by his angel to his servant John. Look at verse 2. Who bore witness to the word of God and to the testimony of Jesus Christ to all what? The things that he saw. That's what he saw. You see, even if you come before the court to bear witness, to say, this is what I saw, this is what I heard, this is what happened, as far as I'm concerned, this is what I saw. Even if the lawyer cross-examining you says you are a liar, he's free to call you a liar. Are you getting me? But what you saw, what you heard, what you experienced, no one can take away from you. No one can, even if they doubt you. So that is what a testimony is. So Paul simply was sharing his experience. He shared his experience And the people got mad at him. So the question that, you know, we can ask ourselves tonight is, we dealt with this in the last Bible study in July. What is your own story? What's your own testimony? What's the experience you've had of God? Have you had any experience? If you have not, you can. You can ask God to reveal himself to you so that you will have your own testimony. Listen, your own testimony, not somebody else's testimony. You see, don't build your faith on another person's testimony, because their testimony is their testimony. It can't be your testimony. Somebody else's testimony, experience, can encourage you to seek God more. Somebody else's testimony can encourage you that, you know what, if God did this, then God must be real. If he can do that, maybe God can do that for me too. But you need to seek for your own experience. Don't base your faith on another man's testimony. Base your faith on your own experience and your own encounter with the Word of God. The Word of God. The Bible tells us, John chapter 1 and verse 1, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. By reading the Word of God, you are having an encounter. I tell you, I open the Bible and I'm talking to God. What is the meaning of this? What are you trying to say here? Like this Bible study, preparing for it. God, what is it you want us to look at here? What are you saying to us? What do you want us to learn? I'm asking, I'm reading, I'm asking, I'm reading, and I'm getting answers. That's my own encounter. So one basic way you can have an encounter with God is open his word, open the Bible, and ask God to speak to you. You try it. Right? Stop relying on coming for services and somebody will go and seek God and come and tell you what God said. You will not grow personally and be very strong that way. The Bible tells us in the book of Daniel chapter 11 verse 32 that it is the people that do know the Lord their God that shall be strong and do exploits. The Bible reveals also to us and exhorts us that the righteous shall live by his own faith. A righteous person is someone who has encountered God, who is now in right standing with God, who has a relationship with God. Everyone like that must live by their own personal experience and faith. So it's not about going to church, going to fellowship. You must have your own encounter. You must have your own experience. You must have your own testimony. That's how to be strong. And that's how to grow. So, what is your own testimony? You must have a testimony. And God is always willing to give us an experience every day to know him more and more. So, number two question is, have people ever doubted your testimony? Your salvation experience? Have you tried or told people what God did and somebody said you are lying? We don't believe you. It can't be true. No, God can't do that. It's just your figment of imagination. Excuse me. Even if it's the figment of my imagination, it is my imagination. It is an experience. And God dealt with my imagination. Or people will say things to you like, you're just being brainwashed. All this Bible stuff is brainwashing. One day I thought about it, and I said, that is true. I'd rather have the word of God wash my brain. Because the Bible says that the washing of the water by the word of God is compared to water. I'd rather get the word. What does the word of God? Do you know the whole story? The whole essence, the full story of the Bible is about the forgiveness, the mercy, the love of God. I'd rather have my brain washed with that than hatred, bitterness, fighting, strife, how to revenge, how to go to an office and play politics, how to, you know, stab somebody in the back because you want their position, how to compete and kill people. No. The Bible is good for me. Say, yes, I've been brainwashed. Brainwashed by the word of God and brainwashed by the blood of Jesus. That's better, Lucky, than being brainwashed by electronics or whatever you're studying. You know, but you don't mind some professor in the university brainwashing you. You don't mind someone telling you this and that and that. You don't mind that. No, I prefer God to wash my brain. You know, so that's my own answer to brainwashing. So have people ever doubted your story or your salvation experience? So let's look at Paul here, okay? Let's look at this story. Do we have the microphones? Why do we think that these people doubted Paul? Can you think about it for those of us who probably know a bit about Paul's story? Here, he said, listen, in fact, his experience with God, Jesus was telling him, you know what, Paul, make haste and get out of this place quickly. Because they are not going to receive your testimony concerning me. They're not going to believe you. This is Jesus telling him. You know, he walked so much with the Lord that, you know, the Lord spoke to him from time to time. And the Lord himself was telling him, leave this place, they are not going to believe you. You know, so why do you think that was the case with Paul? Why wouldn't they believe him? Anybody? Why do you think they doubted him? Please, can you give him the microphone? Yeah? How many microphones do we have? Please bring all the microphones in this world. Okay? Why do you think they were going to doubt Paul? Yeah.
I think it's when he mentioned particularly that he was standing by when Stephen was being killed and he consented to the killing of Stephen. Okay. So they knew that he was very notorious, but
that's right.
Recanting that particular experience made them feel God cannot use or talk to
God
this kind of person.
No, this is a murderer. Okay, thank you for that. Any other contribution? Why would they doubt his testimony? You know, like some of us probably have been doubted. You? You? That we used to party? You? That we used to do this together? You? No way. We don't believe you. Why do you think they doubted Paul?
Trying to put myself in that scenario.
Yeah.
I knew when Christ was crucified and when he died. And then somebody said that same Christ stood by him and told him to leave the city. I would be like, maybe this guy is, something is wrong with him.
That's right.
Because Christ had died before you got changed.
Thank you very much. You know, it sounds incredible. You know, have you tried telling people, oh, you know, God said this to me and God spoke, and they'll just be looking at you like you're spooky. God said to you, when did God say that? What does it look like? Is it black or white? I want to know. Yeah, why do you think they doubted Paul? Yes, sir. Why?
I think familiarity as well.
Familiarity?
Jesus had the same issue when he came to his own city and he said he couldn't do much miracle because the people said, we know your parents, we know your sister, your siblings, you know, what do you have to offer?
Yeah.
And when people are so familiar with you,
yep,
sometimes you're more or less, you know, there's nothing special about you.
Exactly. We know you. You, murderer. You were there. You killed Stephen. You. No, we don't believe you. Which God spoke to you? What Jesus? Yeah, you want to say something?
Yeah, I believe they doubted him because he mentioned that he was addressing Jerusalem. And then he mentioned that, you know, Jesus told me that you're not going to receive the word. And I believe that maybe they got offended that, you know, we're the children of Abraham. How can you say that we won't receive the word? I don't know. That's what I believe.
Okay, no problem. Yeah. Yes, sir. Because Paul was known as the chief persecutor of Christians. So don't come and start telling us you had an encounter with Christ told you. Yes, Uncle Charles.
I'm just going back from your notes.
Yeah.
Because they don't know the true nature of God, that is forgiving, is a merciful God.
Okay.
Is
loving. They don't know God, that God could forgive.
Yeah, they don't know that God is merciful, and they haven't experienced the love of God as well.
Thank you, sir. You know, someone is a notorious, it's a Casanova. You know, he's always running after women and everything. And then he comes now and tells you he's now a serious person. He wants to marry you. That one hit home. He wants to marry you? No, we know you. No. Get thee behind me, Satan. But he's had an encounter. Okay, let me just, because of our time, I'm mindful of our time, I just wrote some things down, reasons why people may doubt our testimony. You know, our brother said it. Number one, familiarity. Jesus, Matthew 13, 54 to 57, Mark chapter 6, 2 to 3. He came to his own people. He was preaching. They said, no, when did this man, we know this carpenter, come on. We know you. Are you not the son of Joseph? Are you not a carpenter? Don't you have sisters, Salome? We know all of them. Come on, get out. The Bible says they were offended. You know, you try to tell people your testimony rather than you thought you were encouraging them, but now they're angry at you. How dare you? Who do you think you are? Familiarity. Okay? Number two, when they know your past. They know your past. You are a thief. You are wicked. You cheated your way. You've killed before. So they know. Because they know your past, they're going to doubt your testimony. Number three, they can't see any change in you physically. When they saw you yesterday, you are 6'3". Today you are coming back to say you met God. You are still 6'3". They look at you. They size you. What's changing? You still have the same mustache. They don't see any change. Okay? Number four. This is deep now. They don't actually see any change in your character. That can make people doubt you, you know. Even though you've encountered Jesus, but he's not showing in your conduct. That will make people doubt your testimony. Because you see, what the Word of God comes to do is to change our thinking to affect our lifestyle, our choices, the way we carry ourselves. When, before you met the Lord, there are sinful things you do, there are sinful places you go, there are so many things you will do. But now you've met the Lord and you are still doing all those things. People don't see any change in your character. It will make people doubt your testimony. Let's be serious here. It will make people doubt your testimony. So change, you know, check yourself at times when people, this calls for soul searching now. Check yourself. What do people, you know, I've shared a story before of a friend, you know, a brother, we used to be in the same fellowship. And we were just walking home after fellowship one day, singing, raising hands. And his mother was coming, hey, Uche, sorry, it's not your Uche, but, why did I mention his name now? Because he might be watching, I don't know. It's not your Uche, okay. That was the Uche that's died. Uche that is dead, but now born again. He was saved at this time and all that, but, you know, the mother asked him something and he lied. And the mother was telling, she was just driving, my son, born again liar. I will never forget. That thing hit me, man. Born again liar. My son. Please, don't let them say that about you. My son, born again fornicator. God forbid. Okay? Number five, because the natural mind cannot receive spiritual things. So when you're sharing spiritual things, because they are naturally minded, they will doubt you. The Bible tells us, 1 Corinthians 2:14, the natural mind cannot receive the things of the Spirit. Okay, let's run. Number six, it is your own personal story. So people were not there. So because they were not there, they will doubt you. They can doubt you. Oh, you know, God said this to me when I was praying and all that. Well, we were not there when you were praying. Have you not heard things like, well, it's you God spoke to, not me, not us. You go and do your God. We'll do our own thing here. You know, I remember I was in this organization and there was this brother, very spiritual. You know, the brother was, the guy stretched me. We're in this office together. I started a fellowship, we'll pray and all that. He would declare fasting intermittently anytime I'm planning to eat. He would say, no, we're fasting today, brother. You know, so he made me do a lot of spiritual things I didn't want to do. No, seriously. We said today, no, we're not going to the for lunch. We're going outside for evangelism during our break time. And I will follow him grudgingly, starving. So I remember this encounter in the office. So the manager told him to do some things, and he prayed about it truly. So he was now telling our manager, who wasn't a Christian, that, sir, the Lord told me not to do it. That's why I didn't do it. The manager was mad. The manager came to me. Look at your brother. Your brother, that your born-again fellow brother. He's thinking, can I use God to cover my eyes? He's trying to use God as a wool over my eyes. He said, okay, now he's not doing it. You go and do it. Oh, yeah. So I had to do it as a man under authority. At least it's your brother God told, not you. You go and do it. You know, we have to be careful. The Lord told me. The guy doesn't believe in your God. Maybe what we should do. So that, you know, okay, the final thing, seven, is probably God didn't send you to the people you are talking to. God didn't send you. You are the one who sent yourself to try and showcase your spirituality. It's happened to me before. You know, it's happened to me before. Went to these people. I wanted to teach them and share the word of God with them, show them from the Bible about worship, about praise. You know, I had revelation. And I was going week in, week out to teach them, to share revelation. I felt God every time. And one of these days, one small boy, notorious boy, just called me after. I said, I said, what is it? He said, it's not flowing. I still remember that's what he said. It's not flowing. I said, what do you mean by it? What's not flowing, bro? What's your problem? He said, look, let me tell you, sir. You are just coming here to waste our time. All these things you are reading from me. Nobody wants to talk, but I will talk, okay? I was mad. Believe me, I was going home that day. Mad! And I had God speak to me quietly. I did not send you. Yeah, I didn't send you. What about all the revelation? Did I send you to go and give the revelation? So I learned my lesson. I don't go where God doesn't send me. We have to understand that. So that's number seven. So what do we do when people don't, when they doubt our testimonies? I just want us to round up with that, practically, from the Bible. Our time is up. Just got a minute left. So what do you do when people doubt your testimony? Fight? Huh? Who thinks we should fight? The violent ticketed by force. Like somebody sent me kind of a skit, and this guy was preaching street evangelism, and he saw one guy on his phone texting, you know. He walked past him, was preaching, saw the guy still texting. Guy didn't even look at him. So he went back to him. He said, "Mister, I'm preaching, you are texting." He said, "Are you mad?" The guy said, "Well, get out, get away from me." Guy kept on texting. He said, "I'm preaching, you are texting. What are you, you're on Facebook, on your phone?" He just went, he got a bottle and smashed the bottle. Pah! He said, "Yeah, will you give your life to Jesus now?" The guy knelt down. "Yes, I will give my life." He said, "How dare you? Somebody died for you. Somebody died for you. And I'm telling you to give your life to him." Well, it's a comical skit. It's not real. But do you do that when people doubt your testimony? When people don't want to listen to you, do you do that? What does Jesus teach that we should do? Argue with people. Fight. Insist they must hear us. Break bottle. You know, first of all, let's go back to the one who sent us, the one who we had an encounter when people doubt our testimony. At least pray, talk to him. "Well, I've told them they don't believe." And hear what he will say to you. There was actually a place in the Bible where Jesus said, "When you go to a city, proclaim your peace on it. If they receive you, then you share with them. If they don't, just dust your feet and move on to the next place." I don't think Jesus sent us to go and start arguing with people. You know, Paul was teaching one of the churches and said, "Look, avoid foolish questions. Avoid all these things, because all they do is to gender strife. They just create more trouble. You bring the gospel, you want to share with people, they don't want to listen. Go back to God. Move away." Look back to Paul. See what Jesus told him. "They are not going to receive your testimony here. Just move on." They won't. And God, being all-knowing, knows the heart of people. I think what we should pray is that God should lead us daily to those who will hear this good news. I don't know about you, but there's this joy I always feel when somebody receives the gospel, when I preach to them or share my story and it encourages them. You know, so that we don't waste our resources, our energy and things like that. We go as led. The Bible says, "As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." So when people doubt your testimony, pray. And ask God, what should you do? And at that point in time, remember also the scriptures. They don't receive your peace. Just move on. Amen. I think that's where we stop tonight. Shall we just talk to God briefly? I don't know what you've heard tonight. So it's not just about hearing, right? Let's challenge ourselves that, okay, this is what I've heard tonight. What will I do about it? I perceive that God has spoken to somebody and shown you, stop wasting your time. I perceive God has spoken to someone and God is telling you, you know what, pray more. Pray more. Don't be discouraged, but pray more. God has spoken to somebody. You are being discouraged by what people have said. Don't be discouraged. Hold on to your encounter with me. You hold on to your testimony, even if you are doubted. If you are not honored, if you are not believed by those close to you, it hurts. It hurts when the people who are closest to you doubt your testimony. I tell you, it hurts when you say God spoke to you and you know God spoke to you and you give a message and they say they don't want to hear. It hurts. We are human. But can we move away and move with the Holy Spirit? Let's make up our minds. We'll do something about what we've heard tonight. Let's thank God for his word. Let's thank God for healing. Let's thank God for deliverance. Let's thank God for his mercies. Father, we just thank you. We thank you. We receive this word that is able to set us free, your word that is able to heal and deliver us from destruction. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for bypassing even my own thoughts. And sending your thoughts, because your thoughts towards us are not evil, thoughts of good, to bring us a future and a hope. Thank you for the encouragement you've given someone here tonight and those watching online. Thank you for rekindling their hope through their encounter, through the joy of salvation you are restoring. You are a child of God. God is for you, not against you. He's making all things work together for the good of those who love him. Child of God, don't let your love grow cold. Let your love keep growing, waxing stronger and stronger and hotter. God is here for you. He's not against you. Your salvation is closer than when you first believed. Don't give up. Don't give up. Father, thank you. We return all the glory to you. Thank you for building your church. Thank you for adding to your church daily such as should be saved. Thank you for someone who's heard this word tonight, and you will reveal to yourself to and give them an encounter to know you for who you are. Thank you for all of us will have our own personal encounters and testimony. Thank you for giving us the strength and boldness to share our story, our testimonies. There's no fear in love. We are motivated by love, moved by compassion for the lost, to share our stories with them and point them to you. And Father, may every testimony, may our stories point people to you and never to us, never to ourselves. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Quickly, tomorrow, 7:30.